Indy, there is something that troubles me.
What is it?
The Ark. If it is there, Atanis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb. Death has always surrounded it. It is not of this earth.
June 12th, 1981 is one of the dates for one of the greatest movies ever made. And we're going to be talking about 40 years. Oh. We're getting old, Mike. We're getting old.
I'm not. I'm getting better.
Oh, man. But The Love Child. From George Lucas and director Steven Spielberg. And we're talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark, not Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's fucking stupid.
That's fake sauce.
I hate it, man. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who, man, every time I see that title, it makes me want to kill. So, oh my God, 40 years, man.
For nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark, if it is there, Atanis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good.
Trust me.
And those who are evil.
Everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let her go.
Indy, we have no time. If you still want the Ark, it has been loaded onto a truck for Cairo.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. A film from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
If it wasn't for Mike, I wouldn't have even seen this movie. When did you first see this?
I saw it a week after it came out because, well, no one would take me. I just remember our older brothers went and saw it. Joe and Chaz went and saw it with my cousin when he was visiting, and I didn't get to see it. And then the next weekend we were staying with remember B. Norton?
Yeah.
Yeah, staying with his dad, his sister, and his brother. We stayed at their house for the weekend because our parents went out of town. And Barry, he took us to see it out in at Walnut Creek, that dome, dome theater that used to be by the freeway. Yeah, we went and saw it there.
Okay.
And I just remember, like, I was just so there's a reason why it's my all-time favorite movie. Over everything I've ever seen, that movie is my, that's the top. Nothing gets higher than that. And I don't know how many times I've seen that. God, I remember seeing it there, and then I saw it like three more times, And then I saw it in Carson City, and then I saw it in Albuquerque. I just that whole summer, I just could not get enough of that movie. Still can't. I'll watch it on the Spanish channel at 2 a.m. So it's just, I watched it when I was about to get surgery, when the drugs were kicking in. So that kept me loose.
Yeah, when I never even heard of this. I didn't even know what it was. I remember seeing trailers, TV spots, I mean, of them. Oh, from the director of Star Wars and the director of Jaws and Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I was like, okay. I mean, it didn't grab me or anything. I was kind of like, all right, cool, whatever. Star Wars was the only thing that grabbed me. So I was like, whoa, what Star Wars? What is this? And then I was like, okay. It didn't look like anything exciting from that, however, 30-second trailer TV spot. So I was like, all right, well, whatever. I mean, I wasn't thinking much of it. This is when we were living on East 19th. And then hanging out with Mike here, you were the one that told me. You told me and Jamie, you're like, dude, you guys got to go see this movie. This is a guy named Indiana Jones, and he's got a whip, and they're killing people, and guys' heads blow up and shit. We were like, what? So we were like, okay, well, I mean, all right, well, we'll go see it. So we must have saw it maybe the third weekend. We went and seen it at the old Rockridge Shopping Center, Rockridge Theater that was next to Safeway.
Yeah,
which is no longer there anymore. Safeway is not, well, Safeway is in a different spot, but so we went and saw it, and I still didn't know what I was in for. I remember when we went in, we got our popcorn. They had those big giant cardboard displays like they have in the movie theater. I was like, oh, cool. And it even had Indy hanging on like a string. Because if you look at the original poster, it's just Harrison Ford's face and all this, and the truck at the bottom, and snakes and Marion and all that. But I can't remember if it was the left or the right. You see Indy hanging from a rope, and they had like a string, and there was a little cardboard Indy hanging there. So we would go in, we sit down and watch it. Still didn't know what we were in for. I didn't know, well, what is this? Is it action movie or what? And then it starts, and that beginning just blew me away. I was like, oh my god, what is this? I mean, the scene that I still, 40 years later, I still cringe at it is the spider scene where the tarantula is crawling around on him. And fuck that. I mean, I don't think I could do it, man. If even, like, hey man, this is the role you're in, and we gotta, even if it was one spider, I'd be, no, I can't do it. But I mean, what's his name? Alfred Molina, aka Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2. When he spun around, and because Indy only had like a couple on him and he just brushed them off. But when he turned around and had a whole back full, other than how the hell did they get on you? Especially that many. Were they falling from the ceiling, or did they crawl up your legs real fast? This is just me thinking, but I mean, that scene, I was like, oh my god. And then them getting the idol and trying to just outrun all the little booby traps, and then the big boulder. For you, all you younger listeners that watch this now, during that boulder scene, back when it first came out, you can, off to the left, you can clearly see there was a big, like, beam or a pole or whatever, helping that boulder along. Now with the technology, they went in there and erased it and everything. So you still can't see it. But if you watch the old trailers, you could see it. So, I mean, I didn't see it at the time until I was much older. But this movie just blew me away on how awesome it was. I mean, what, 10 years old at the time when this came out? And not really thinking, like, that this movie was just going to change the way we live. I mean, that's what Star Wars did to us. I mean, we still love Star Wars today, and that's way over 40 years. And I can't believe it, man. I have my actual, that first Indiana Jones figure. I don't have the gun or the whip, but I still have the figure. I know I got the figure they don't make anymore that they had at Disneyland. I have that. Then when Crystal Skull came out, I bought one of those ones just to have. I wish I would have had the Temple of Doom toys. I think I had Dr. Indiana Jones, but that was it. But I don't even know what happened to that. But I mean, this came out with so much stuff. I mean, toy-wise, this was all just for the first film. Yeah, I remember the figures. I remember the truck and the horse that he was riding on and everything. I don't know if they ever made like a little small arc.
Yeah. Yeah. The arc came with Belloc in his ceremonial garb that he was wearing at the end.
I mean, this movie just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, and then later '84 when Temple of Doom came out, I didn't know. I was like, what? There's more? I was at the festival theater in Hayward, and I remember seeing a poster, and it was just a picture of Harrison Ford standing there with a machete, got like his shirt all ripped up, machete, and it just said, trust him on it. I was like, oh my God, we're getting another one? No internet, kid, boys and girls. So we didn't get to see anything until the trailer came out for that one. But I was blown away by that one. Because me and you seen it first, Temple of Doom, and then you came over and we went to the Parkway and we saw it for, I mean, I went with you the first time I had seen it. And
that's right. Yeah.
I was like, fuck, man. I mean, this movie is just amazing. I mean, I show it to my kids today and they all like it. I think Tegan didn't really know much of it until the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland. And then I told her that these were movies. Marky already knew who he was. So, but this first film, out of the four films, I own all of them. I like them. I know a lot of people hate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I remember it just rubbed me the wrong way when I first seen it, but watching it over and over, and Indiana Jones, man, what? Cool. And if we get a fifth one, of course we'll watch it. And I guess they are making it. I don't know who the director is because it's not Steven Spielberg. So
it's Joe Johnston.
All right. I mean,
he did pretty deal. Like he did one of our personal favorite Congo.
Yeah, I mean, but it can't be any worse than Crystal Skull. So I'm not. I mean, again, I'll see it, and who knows? Maybe it'll be like one of the best ones. But for this film, what I love about it the most, other than the amazing score from John Williams, that's awesome. But practical effects of the early 80s. And this movie was only PG. Today's it would probably be borderline PG-13, almost R, because there's a lot of blood and gore in this. I mean, you don't really think about it in 81. You're like, oh, wow, oh, my God, somebody's head blew up, or that guy got shot in the head and there's blood pouring down the front of his face. And I watched this. I was just watching all the action clips of this. And I was sitting there like, wow, man, they really went for it with the blood and gore. I mean, it's crazy that the ratings board people let this go as a PG. There was no PG-13 yet, boys and girls. That didn't come until 84. But I was just like, wow. I mean, even like Jaws. I mean, that was, you see the guy getting chomped on and blood's squirting out of his mouth, and another guy get his leg bit off, and a little boy gets chewed up, and a big old mountain of blood shooting out of the water. But again, different times. So,
real quick footnote. What was the first PG-13 movie?
Red Dawn.
Yeah.
That I only know that is because when that came out and I was looking at the poster and I was like, PG-13, what's that? I had no idea. I mean, that today that was PG. That could have been just a regular PG movie because there was a lot of death in it, but nothing super violent other than that kid hanging out the window at the beginning with a bullet hole in his head. But I mean, and I think that was like the most gore there was in that movie. But this one, man, it had everything. And I think this movie spoke to a lot of little boys like us, because us growing up and just loving going to just fucking crawling through the bushes and not really giving a fuck. I can, all the shit we did then, I don't think I could do any of that today. I mean, I'm surprised none of us are dead from all the stuff we did. And it's crazy. I mean, going up to the trout ponds, casting ponds in Oakland and running around through the bushes, walking through that sewer tunnel.
The sewer tunnel.
like not even thinking about what if the big old gush of water came and just washed us away and no one would have found us. I mean, thankfully nothing did happen to us, but I mean, this movie got like, oh my, you wanted to get into those adventures. You wanted to swing from a whip. Remember Jamie's jump rope whip he made?
Yeah, I remember when we went trick or treating and he walked in and Chaz goes, "Man, what are you, a sheep herder?" It's like, I'm Indiana Jones. Then later on, he was telling people he was a stoner.
Oh man,
dude, this movie was beyond like spectacular. It brought back it brought adventure back into our lives, into our movie watching lives. I mean, up until then, like when we had Star Wars, we were still living on the high of Star Wars, and then this comes out, and you think about it, like, oh my God, man, two mountain powerhouse filmmakers of their time, and not to mention the fact that, you know, Harrison Ford, man, he's to be both Han Solo and Indiana Jones, I mean, come forget about it. It's, you know, he's like just the quintessential tough guy. And then to find out, like, you know, to find out like everything he went through making that movie, he was sick. He had dysentery when they were in Tunisia. And even just like the whole movie itself is just it doesn't, as far as high adventure in the time period piece and in you know, before World War II, or in the start of World War II, it was just like, it's something that, you know, like you said, for us, it gave us a hero to look up to. And for me, Indiana Jones, like, I loved it because, like, it was before everybody in movies and TV knew martial arts, because every fight scene now is fucking martial arts. It's like, man, whatever happened to the good old, the good old fisticuffs just fighting? You know, that's why I like The Mummy, because Rick O'Connell, like, he was like Indiana Jones. He just fought with his fists and his guns. And, you know, that right there is like serial movies, you know, like the old, our parents liked Treasure of the Sierra Madre and, you know, Montezuma's Gold and all those old Humphrey Bogart running through the jungle flicks. This was ours. Indiana Jones was our generation's, you know, adventure movies. And it was just like, I mean, you see, and you're right, dude, like to have this peppered with just John Williams' score throughout, all the different themes in that movie were just, and God, dude, you couldn't, like, to me, I think everybody, the highlight of this movie for everybody was when he goes under the truck during the desert chasing. I mean, I don't know anybody who watched that for the first time whose mouth didn't drop open. And it was just like, even now, dude, when they release it in the theaters for like one night only, AMC usually does it one night only. And I always go see it. I don't care if I have to give blood or tip the couch over to get change. I always go see it. And even it's always sold out. And I've never been to a screening where the first scene after he uses his whip on that dude about to shoot him in the back, as soon as his face comes into the light, that whole theater just erupts in applause. I mean, that it's just like it's the quintessential, like, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, because like every screening I went to and watched it, people cheered at the right time. People still, like, you know, they love it. And what's cool is, like, one of the last, I think the last time when it came out, and I was in Chicago and I went and saw it, this guy brought his kids. He had three boys and they'd never seen it. And to watch these kids react to the way, and then just the applause at the end when it's over, you know, it's just a good feeling. It's like, yeah, man, raise them right. Bring them to good movies. You know, it's like, I don't care how many Fake and the Furious movies that they make. None of these movies will ever hold a candle to Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, I don't, like, the closest thing to me, the closest movie to ever, like, captivate me like that was the first Die Hard. Because I was like, John McClane is like Indiana Jones. I like movies where the hero gets hurt. Like, they get injured. Like, Indiana Jones, he gets beat up. John McClane gets beat up. And it's like, Steven Seagal, never. Jean-Claude Van Damme, never. And Rambo, too. Rambo gets fucked up a lot in his movies. And just a quick side note on that, like, if you watch the last Rambo movies, you notice that he has all the scars of all the injuries he got in all the movies. Like, he's at, what, that one on the side of his face. He's got the one on his arm. You know, of course, the ones on his chest and his back. But, like, Indiana Jones, like, same thing. You know, like, they even, you know, God rest his soul, but River Phoenix in, what you call it?
Last Crusade.
Got to see how Indy got that scar on his lip. I thought that was pretty cool. But this movie is like, it's a timeless classic. Like, many generations, like Star Wars, many generations can watch Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I'm going to even throw in Halloween. Those three movies right there is quintessential, man. They never lose. They never get tarnished. You know, they're everything we all like in movies. You know, everything that you and I like. Speaking for you and I think I can comfortably speak for you too on this, but it's those three movies, I think, represent everything that we love about film. Every action, science fiction, horror. I mean, and for you, we'll leave Friday the 13th. I mean, those four movies right there, like, they just summed it up for us, for our generation. You know, it was a time to be alive when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out. It's like, you know, holy shit, what did I just see? I want to see it again and again and again. And I think I still have my VHS. Yes, I have my VHS, I have the DVD, I got the Blu-ray, and then I'm about to get the 4K box set. But yeah, dude, I mean, I don't know. If I ever met Harrison Ford, I would have to hug him. I don't care if he punches me or what, I'd have to hug him.
I mean, you loved the movie so much. I mean, I remember when you had the vinyl, the soundtrack, the John Williams score, and we were sitting at your house. I mean, just listening to it. I mean, the thing about that, if you just listen to John Williams' score and you're just sitting there relaxing, every song that comes on, you can picture what's happening on the screen. I mean, mm-hmm. If you've seen that movie so many times, like we have, I mean, you can picture that. I mean, you can pick, like, the main theme. You can picture that. I mean, you picture the end when you see this man pushing a big wood crate down this big warehouse, and then the song comes on, and the main theme, or just the part when they're during the truck scene when that music hits, or yeah. Even the, I don't know the names of each track, like the one that was going when they were in the Well of Souls.
I mean, yeah, it's just called the Well of the Souls. There's Marion's theme, the Desert Chase, Flight from Peru. One piece of music I really like, and one of my favorite scenes in the film is when those two government agents come to see him and Marcus, and they're in that auditorium and they're talking about what, and then the guy's like, what exactly is the Ark of the Covenant? And then he shows them, he opens that big ass book, and that music that comes on when he's showing them. And then Marcus, when Marcus is like, you know, when that guy says, I'm beginning to see Hitler's interest in this. And he's like, oh yes, the Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions. And he's like, an army that carries the Ark before it is invincible. And just that right there is like, holy, like, they don't make dialogue like that anymore.
I mean, that's George Lucas right there. I know a lot of people, you say that name, it rubs you the wrong way, but they all can't be winners, but this was a winner. I mean, this was the story that he had done. He started, and it was, they wanted Tom Selleck, but he was too busy being Magnum PI. I mean, good for him. I mean, but would, let's just say Tom Selleck did play Indiana Jones, do you think it would have gotten as big as it did, like as today, as getting three more movies after this one and toys and rides and everything? Do you think he had that much star power to carry this franchise on?
I don't think, you know, it's, I think that honestly, I don't know if you call it stars aligning or serendipity or synchronicity, but I think that there are only roles tailor-made for people that only they can play. And I think if Tom Selleck did it, it would have turned into like a Batman thing where they would have probably had to get a new actor every time that the idea changed or the franchise wanted to go another direction. I mean, like, it's interesting. I saw the trailer for Respect coming out, that movie about Aretha Franklin. And who better to play her than Jennifer Hudson? I mean, that right there, the trailer got me excited. And then, like, with Malcolm X, you know, Denzel. Who better to play Malcolm X than Denzel Washington? You know, it's like Indiana Jones, Han Solo, those. You know, it's so funny, like, to think about the roles Harrison Ford chooses and to hear it after how he felt about him. Like, he hated Blade Runner, but yet it's one of his best roles ever. Like, he, you know, enough he hated it so much he came back for 2049, you know, but he's so funny that, like, when they ask him, are you going to come back? And he's like, yeah. It's like, why? He's like, the paycheck. You know what I mean? He's Harrison Ford. He could say that, but, like, he, when you watch him in these roles, man, he gives it his all. Like, he doesn't just, you know, he doesn't just come on. You can tell he's just like bored, just trying to get, no, man, he brings something to the character. He brings the energy to the character, you know? And I think that Tom Selleck would have been really different had he have been it. Cause you know, he has such an intense brow. Like, he just looks like Tom Selleck always to me, like, he, well, even now, looks like just the mean dad. Always at that mean look. And but Harrison Ford, you know, he's like, you know, he looks like the likable guy next door. And then it's just it all depends on the actor. And I think that their casting choice of pulling him into it, shit, dude, it's legendary. It's legendary. He set the benchmark for a lot of action, you know. What do we get? Remember that TV show Tales of the Gold Monkey?
Yeah,
like, we get stuff like that. We get Firewalker with the legendary Chuck Norris, you know, all these movies that wanted to be Indiana Jones, like, they tried to be that, but it's like, you can't, that's Harrison Ford, man. You can't, you know, you can't do that. And then but 40 years, dude, 40 years of this movie, and still it's like, you can't get enough of it. You know, I watch it. I see it every time I can find it in the theater. I'll go see it. I watch it. It's one of my Christmas movies. I watch it at Christmas for some reason. I always watch it at Christmas time. But yeah, dude, it's that's my film. I love that film.
All right. I'm looking at Tom Selleck's. I've seen him in TV shows and everything. The only movies that I really remember that like I went to the theater to see, Runaway, wasn't the greatest, but it was a cool sci-fi movie. I mainly seen it, wanted to see it because Gene Simmons was the bad guy. I loved The 3 Men and a Baby, the first one, not the second one. Quigley Down Under, I know a lot of people saying, oh, that was just him wanting to give us his version of Indiana Jones or something. I was like, okay, I never saw it. Or no, I did. I saw bits of it on TV. I think other than Runaway and Innocent Man, I thought that was a really good movie. I seen a few movies of Magnum P.I. Not Mr. Baseball and just things here and there. I did watch a couple of episodes of that Blue Bloods.
What'd you think of that?
The two episodes I saw, I liked. I didn't really get into it. Damn, that show's been on 10 years.
Almost. Blue Bloods?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. We watched it the first maybe 3 or 4 seasons. And I remember my pops asking, hey, do you guys watch Blue Bloods? I was like, yeah. He goes, I can't get behind it. Tom Selleck wearing his girdle, breathing all heavy. I was like, oh my God, wearing his girdle.
I mean, again, Magnum P.I. All I see is Magnum P.I. Not that new one they tried to do. Garbage. But that's all I saw him as. I mean, riding around in that Ferrari and getting in adventures in Hawaii. Is that where they were? Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wasn't. I think to me, I only saw him as a TV actor because he's done a ton of TV. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's had a good career. But I don't know. I don't think I could ever picture him as Indiana Jones. I mean, would he have had the mustache? I mean, probably. I mean, that's his signature. When you see him without his mustache, it doesn't look right. But that's my opinion, everyone. But
I mean, if in that alternate universe, you have Nick Nolte as Han Solo.
Nick Nolte
is Han Solo, and it would have remained Luke Starkiller.
So I only like little Nolte in Mandalorian. That was a Quill.
Little Nolte. Yeah. I'm sorry, my man. He'll always be a Jack Cates to me.
Oh, of course. Could they make 48 hours today? No.
Nope. They tried to, but it got scrapped. But real quick, okay, so check this out now. Okay, this right here is just okay. So did you hear about the latest controversy about Indiana Jones, about Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Everyone's always trying to bring up something. What is it now?
Okay. So Karen Allen, they asked her what she thinks about the line from the movie where she tells Indiana Jones, I was a child, I was in love, it was wrong, and you knew it. So all these parent groups or whoever are like, is Indiana Jones a pedophile? And I was like, what? Like, so I guess there's a push to get that line removed or get it dubbed over where she says, I was young, I was in love, it was wrong, and you knew it.
Because she does say she was a child. I just watched that scene.
Yeah, like, and it's like, you know, I mean, and I remember that, you know, me and the wife were talking about it, and she was like, what do you think about that? I was like, well, I said, like my parents still think of us as kids. I'm damn near 50. And so it's like in that time, like dialogue back then, like in the 40s and in the 30s and 40s, like that, there was a lot of things said that weren't a big deal. They didn't mean that.
I mean, different times. I mean, I've always say this about movies. I mean, many different movies. Like it was different times when this was made. It was different times in the actual setting of when this was going on. So, I mean, again, even way back in those days, different states, you could get married when you're like really young. It's crazy.
14, 15.
I mean, yeah, stuff like that. I mean, how old was Marion when she first met Indiana Jones? Henry, yes, Jr., whatever you want to call him. I mean, how old was he? Because what, she was...
Her character was probably about maybe 30.
If not late 20s, early 30s.
He was about maybe 32, 33.
Yeah.
So you figure like if she was like maybe like 16 or 17, you know, he's probably 22. But yeah, I mean, I hope that they don't go backwards and try to make a, you know, or maybe we could, I don't know. I've never watched that Indiana Jones Chronicles TV series. I only saw the episode with him in it, with Harrison Ford in it.
Oh, young Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
I tried. I wasn't buying it. I mean, this young kid or however old he was. Getting in adventures. I tried, it came on Sundays on ABC and I was like, oh, cool. We're getting young Indiana Jones. Let's check this out. And then I was like, okay. Yeah, man. I just wasn't buying it. I mean, this is hashtag not my Indiana Jones. So it was way before hashtags, everyone, but, I mean, it was cool. I mean, it was what it was. The TV show, I just couldn't get into it. But we're not saying that it was wrong, and we're not going to say, okay, we want that a line and a dialogue in the movie taken out. I mean, just leave it in there. I mean, it's not like they show it or anything. but I do understand what they mean. And what they want, what they're trying to do. But I was listening to the Rewatchables, and they were talking about this, and they brought that up, and they were trying to go, well, how old were they? Was she a teenager? Was she younger? I mean, I don't know. But I don't know, man. She said it. She goes, it was wrong, and you knew it, But did they go the full nine, or did maybe he just kiss her or something? I don't know. Not saying that that's good, but I mean, I don't know. It's ask George Lucas if you guys ever met him. How old were they when they met? So, I mean, he's the only one that could probably tell you because we don't know. But, I mean, this film is just, other than it's just a timeless classic, I mean, this is like... again, no CGI, all practical effects. The visual effects are awesome. Even when the ending, when all the little crazy spirits are flying around, but it was cool. I mean, even the Well of the Souls part. I mean, that whole thing about where it was, how it was hidden there in the city of Tanis, and how. Back in the day, I mean, in the BC era, I mean, when that big sandstorm just came in and a year-long sandstorm just covered the whole city. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I'm not much up on any of the history of Bible and stuff like that. I know you are, but do they talk about this Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah. It's the ark that Moses gave, and then it's the golden chest that was built. And the way it's described in the Bible is how that's how it actually looks, with those two golden eagles on top that represent the gates of heaven, and then inside is the remains of the original Ten Commandments. Well, according to Mel Brooks, there was 15, but Moses Moses dropped a tablet. But it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. It talks about the city of Tanis being consumed by God's wrath. God sent the angel Gabriel down, and he actually wiped it off the face of the earth. Cause I forgot what the sin was committed, but anytime that God needed something done, he sent an angel to do it. And Gabriel was usually the herald telling the world that God's coming to his wrath is coming.
I mean, yeah, I mean, but, that, yeah. All that stuff, I always come to you because I don't know. Because
it was beaten into me for 12 years.
Yeah, you had religion class and all that. I mean, I remember you telling me about some stuff and all that stuff you told me right over my head. Like, I don't get it. To each his own, everyone. We're not saying any of it is bad. You believe in whatever you want to believe in, but
I kind of have to follow it because, well, not really follow it, but have to know because I'm my namesake. I mean, I'm named after the archangel.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, that's what I keep telling you when you keep laughing. I keep telling you I'm allowed to sin with permission. Yeah.
I mean, but this film, other than it spoke to all us little kids in the day wanting to get into it, adventures, and the scene in the truck. When he's riding after it on a horse, I remember riding horses at my grandfather's house in Arizona on the res, and just pretending I'm Indiana Jones hauling ass on a horse down a road. And I don't know if I could ride a horse today, but or even riding in the back of my grandpa's truck. I mean, there's times we're out in the res, dirt, nothing but dirt roads, of trying to jump out of the back and not getting dragged by anything. I remember my cousin would hang off. No, my other cousin, Ronald, he would hang off the back of the tailgate and run as fast as he can and then run and jump back on to the back of the truck. I remember him dragging, holding on to the tailgate, dragging, trying to get back up as we're trying to pull him in. But I mean, that's the different times, everyone. I wouldn't let my kids do it, much less my grandsons do it. But, I mean, we did crazy shit like that, man. We climbed up on the mountains by my grandmother's house and went crashing down all these dirt hills and had boulders chasing us. Not big, giant ones, but, I mean, we could have fucking knocked ourselves out getting hit with these big rocks that we had rolling after each other. I mean, just wanting to be Indiana Jones, get into these adventures that he had done. I mean, it was an amazing film for what they did. And you mentioning, yeah, them getting sick from all the local cuisine, I assume, getting dysentery and infections and shit like that. I mean, that the scene that everyone goes to, that everyone cheers and laughs at, even 40 years later when I watch it, always puts a big smile on my face when Indy is searching for Marion because she got kidnapped in the basket. And we get to that big dude with the sword. I remember he even had a figure, and he's only in the in the movie for maybe a minute, if that. I mean, from what I understand, I was watching some documentary. That guy trained for like 8 weeks for this, for this big battle scene, fight scene they were supposed to have. But Indy was sick at the time, and he was like, he didn't think he had the strength to do that fight scene. And then he goes, hey, why don't I just pull out my gun and shoot him? And fuck, did that work? I remember that first time I saw it, man. I remember, oh yeah, like that's how you do it. I mean, that and the look he gives on his face, he's standing there looking down. I love how like everyone just parts and gets out of the way. Yeah. All the locals, and then that guy standing here, and then starts doing the thing.
The music builds it all up.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, man, this is gonna be awesome. What's he gonna do? He was supposed to pull out his whip and do all that, but he didn't have time for that, and I just love the look on his face when he sees him, and then he kind of just gives him like, bitch, please, and pulls out his gun. And then spins around like it's nothing. And I love how the locals grab that big sword and hold it in the air as they're all cheering. But, I mean, I don't know that actor's name or anything, but I'm sure he got paid for the 8 weeks that he was training and when that scene happened. But that's like one of the best scenes in movie history. I mean, you know what that's from, and It gives you that big smile on your face and everybody cheers. Yeah, I have seen it in these newer screenings that they do on Sundays at the Cinemark theaters in my area. And I've seen this movie a billion times. I think I only saw it twice during its original run. And then I remember they brought it back, I don't know, maybe a year or so later. And I know they brought it back right before Temple of Doom came out, because I went and seen it again. And then when the Grand Lake Theater was doing those 50-cent movies on the weekends, it played there a few times. I remember going Saturday and Sunday to see this.
Yeah. That scene, the swordsman scene, and he just, you know, does what he does. That is like, that's right up there with "I love you, I know." I mean, this, he can't fade those scenes. I mean, he just he, that's how, that's what he does. Yes. And I remember thinking, like, even back then, I was like, damn, he just shot that dude and killed him for no. But then, like, you see his backstory, he's a veteran. He served in World War I. So it's like, okay, he's killed people before. So it's, he was so good at weapons and everything. But it is just, I mean, that scene where they find it when you know, he goes down to the map room and finds that. But we can't, you know, we got to give a shout out to John Rhys-Davies as Sala.
Yeah.
I mean, Sala was as Gimli, you know, Gimli from Lord of the Rings. Sala was just, you know, he was just a very, really good character. And that whole cast, I mean, Paul Freeman as the fly-eating Belloc, even though they say that when they slow that down that it didn't go in his mouth, but, you know, even so.
It went right in his mouth. I don't care what anyone says.
But Denholm Elliott, the late Denholm Elliott, as Marcus. And also as the butler,
Trading Places. Yeah, Coleman.
Coleman, yeah. I don't know the actor's name. The character's name is Tote, but they never say his name. The
Ronald Lacey.
He's Ron Lacey, yeah, who plays the Gestapo guy. But yeah, what I thought was cool was like, the stunts, you know, pretty much all the actors were stuntmen, like the big Sherpa dude that Indiana Jones is fighting during the Nepal bar shootout scene was the bald
Nazi,
the big mechanic, the big Nazi guy that he has a good fight with. And then the dude on the motorcycle with the monkey was the guy that the same actor that played the guy at the beginning that was going to shoot Indiana Jones in the back.
That Pat Roach guy, the big Nazi dude, he was a wrestler.
Yeah, it wasn't. He was like Spielberg's go-to guy, like for all those. Like he was also in Temple of Doom, right?
Yeah, he was the dude big that he was fighting on that conveyor belt.
Okay, that dude, and then the what's his name was Harrison Ford's stunt double, Vic Armstrong, did all the stunts at Harrison Ford. But then, like Harrison Ford, too, he also did a lot of his own stunts.
I mean, yeah, that was him getting dragged behind that truck. I liked how they did that. I don't know if that was him under the truck, but that was him when he got drugged.
Yeah, it was him behind the truck, and it was Vic Armstrong under it. Shout out to Marion. God, dude, I'm getting old. What the hell is her name?
Karen Allen.
Karen Allen. God. Yep. From The Wanderers.
Starman.
And Starman. Yeah. Karen Allen was just dope as Marion. And it was, man, the whole movie is just so much. I don't think we're going to go through the whole synopsis of it because you should have seen it by now.
Yeah, it's 40 years old.
He's 40 years old. You should. That's like saying, okay, let's go run through Jaws. It's like, man, look. All I know is if you watch Jaws backwards, it's about a shark giving people back their limbs. So
I mean, this whole movie is awesome, and I know you love it. It's your favorite film, but if you have to pick a scene in this, what's your all-time favorite scene in this whole movie?
The desert chase.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
The desert chase, and then I remember seeing the TV spot for the Road Warrior, and they said better than the desert chase scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then I was like, "What? That's a bold statement, man." Okay, first of all, let's just say Road Warrior, that whole Mad Max thing, that's its whole other animal. That's like trying to compare horror movies to Hitchcock. You just can't. But as far as this movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the desert chase scene, to me, was like the quintessential action scene because it was all practical. There's no CGI. And it was just a beautiful choreographed action scene.
I mean, it was just so badass, man. Once Indy gets onto the truck and jumps in the front and is just beating the shit out of the drive, throwing one dude out and then just diving onto that dude that's driving the truck. This is me overthinking. I don't know why. If someone jumps me and while I'm driving, my foot's coming off the gas and the clutch and everything else. And then the truck would start. I mean, whoever, no matter what was going on, him getting punched, him fighting, he just kept his foot on the pedal. But I just love how Indy just jumps in and just leaps at that dude, and they just start fighting. And I love the scene when after he gets shot in the arm, when he's hanging onto the door of the truck, and then when he gets back in, and that driver, that Nazi dude, is lets go of the steering wheel, still got his foot on the gas, and he's just serving Indy in the arm of his gun wound. He's and then throws him through the windshield. And the first time watching it, I'm like, oh my god, I couldn't believe what was happening. And just little Ned sitting there like, fuck, this is the greatest. And
because you're watching it and you're thinking like, okay, how's he going to get out of this?
Yeah.
And then Belloc and all them are telling that dude, speed up, like smash him, speed up.
I mean, that was Harrison Ford holding on to the grill and like he's just right on the rim of the tires and his feet just dragging on the dirt and he's looking behind him. I was like, God. Like, what would you do? I would have died already. I don't even know if I would have got that far. You do what you got to do. And he, luckily that truck was high, and he crawled under the truck and was just grabbing on. I mean, you got to watch out for that axle, cause that thing's spinning pretty fast. But this is, I saw this I caught it the first time, and I catch it every single time when he throws his whip under it's, you could clearly see it's a hook. And then next thing you know, he's getting drugged behind the truck. And I'm just getting my mind just being blown as he's just hanging on, just fishtailing and pulls himself back up. And then,
dude, when he pulls himself back up, the applause, anytime I see this in the theater, the people just cheer their asses off. Because he just like, it's just like, this dude's fucking relentless. And the way he just climbs up and he just, you know, moves through the truck and then every time people just cheer when he fucking kicks that dude right in the face.
I mean, that guy just stuck his jaw out to him because they're like, he's there. And he turns and looks and gets one to the face.
Indiana Jones gets in and whoops his ass up. But I love the fact that after that whole chase scene and he's driving off and then he grabs his arm. Ah.
It's like, well, that adrenaline. I mean, I'm sure he felt it the whole time. But I mean, when he gets back in after getting thrown out by that dude, I mean, he slams his face on the dashboard, then throws him out the window. He tries to do the same thing and then gets run over. And that scene is odd. We can't see it because the big hill's in the way. But you see that guy, the truck bounce, and he's like,
legs.
Ah. I was like, Damn. I couldn't believe it. I mean, before that guy even got in the driver's seat, when Indy took out those other dudes, I mean, climbing on the side, and then all those other Nazi dudes climbing along the side of the truck, and he's just swerving back and forth, hitting trees and crashing into whatever those guys were building with the scaffolds and everything. And oh my God, that whole scene is amazing. And I can watch that scene over and over, and yep, it's just awesome. I mean, going back a little bit, I mean, the fight with the big Pat Roach, the big wrestler, not bald Nazi guy. I mean, if you guys listen to our Fight Society, that was one of the fight scenes that I loved, man, because that dude, other than he just came out wanting to fight. And he's like, hey, I don't know what he was saying. Like, come here. And he was holding up his fist like, come on, come get these hands.
And, yeah.
And after all this, after fighting that dude and getting the shit beaten out of him and almost getting run over by an airplane, then getting dragged behind a truck and almost get killed by I don't know how many Nazis and everything. I'm like, how fucking tired are you? But we see that how tired he is when he gets to the ship. Was it Katanga? Was that his name?
Yeah,
Katanga. When he gets on his ship, when they're in the captain's quarters, Marion and Indy, and he just wants to lay down, and she wants to get down, but he's other than he's just dead tired. I don't even think he had any sleep in the past 24 hours, because he was up all night digging for the well of souls, and then getting all that, and then getting stuck in there. I mean, even that scene, like going into this big room full of snakes, and he's just afraid of them. I mean, I could probably handle the snakes, but if there was like a room full of spiders, I'm sorry, man, we're just going to forget it. But I mean, even that scene, I mean, that whole scene was spooky. I mean, it was cool, man. I mean, other than this is George Lucas' story, I mean, you got fucking R2 and C-3PO on the walls. And all the little stick figures and everything on them. I never saw that until much years later when someone pointed it out. But it's crazy on what they did. And I know there was some hoopla about they weren't, some people were mad for them, the way they were treating the snakes and everything in there. I don't know, different times, everyone. But I mean, that whole scene. And even when he first gets in there and we see the Cobra, I know they did some erasing with the technology today, but back then you can clearly see the reflection of the plexiglass or whatever it was that was in between Harrison Ford and that Cobra. So, but it's crazy. I mean, this movie had everything. If you loved it, it had love, it had adventure and just action and spookiness of it all. I mean, going to the end, I mean, dude, that fucking ending was scary. When they awoke whatever was in that thing and all the spirits coming out, and then they turn in from beautiful women to scary skull monsters flying around. I mean, that was crazy. I remember showing, I think it was either Kyle or Eric, I can't remember which one. I love how that one comes up to the camera. It just looks like a chick and then just turns into this skull face. Like, I remember seeing that in the theater one of these last times I had seen it, and little kids that are in there watching it, getting freaked out about that. I mean, that scene, I mean, the visual effects for that scene was amazing. And I love, again, the score for that whole scene. It's just amazing. And really quick, right before all hell broke loose, on that island, when Indy was telling Marion, he goes, all right, just close your eyes and whatever you do, don't open them. Why were they, other than there was whoosh and everything was flying around them, why were they screaming?
Because probably the noise and the heat, because remember there was heat around them.
Yeah.
So. Probably they're just scared of the heat.
I mean, they've
under R2's dome.
You could see, I mean, like they have their eyes closed, but you could see like they're like trying to hold them closed, because it looks like at one point they wanted to open them. I mean,
yeah, because it's like the same thing like with what our relatives tell us about scary shit. Like, we're not supposed to see it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. Like, you saw, like, what happened to the Nazis that were looking at it. Like, them fools got zapped.
I love the one how it went through the camera and got that dude in the face.
Yeah. That whole, I mean, they basically, it's like the whole philosophy behind it is they paid for their sins. You know, it was the Ark of the Covenant. It turned on them. But that's the price you pay for dominance is you know, okay, I did for you, now you're going to do for me.
I mean, because that's, you know, Belloc, was he Jewish or?
No, he was French, but for lack of a better term, to make the magic happen, he had to speak in Hebrew.
Okay.
So that's why that one dude was like, you know, I just, Jewish ritual is making me uncomfortable, but I suppose it's necessary. I mean, like, but yeah, and all those souls that they released out of there that, you know, attacked all the Nazis. Those are all the sinners that got consumed that tried to use the ark for bad, and that's the thing is like, it holds the Ten Commandments, which are the laws of God. And to use it as a power to dominate is a sin. I mean, because it's murder, according to the Bible. You know, one of the sins is, thou shalt not kill. And for an army to use it as a weapon, you know, they were lied to, basically. It's like, okay, well, you can use it as a weapon, but you're going to die too. Because... God don't fuck around. But that's why, like at the beginning, at the end, remember when they're all going up and the clouds opened up? Mm-hmm. That's why, like the flame made a turn and came back down and closed the ark, is because they weren't allowed into heaven. They're damned to stay inside the Ark of the Covenant.
I mean,
so that's why their souls went up and God rejected them. It's like, nope. You guys stay in that box.
I mean, for natives, I mean, we all have different beliefs being natives, because we're not all the same. We're the many different tribes and many different beliefs for each tribe. But I was always taught not to touch things like this. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, even for, I'd be like, nah, I know nothing about it. The thing, I think the line that scared me in this whole movie, and I played it at the very beginning of the show, is when Sala and Indy are in Cairo and they're just sitting there talking, when Sala goes, when he tells him Indy, something is troubling me. And he's like, what? And he goes, the ark, if it is there at Tanis, then it's something that man is not meant to disturb. I mean, mm-hmm. Death has always surrounded. It's not of this earth. Shit like that, dude. I'm like, cool. All right. I couldn't. I mean, if someone told me, oh, hey, the ark's over here in this cave, you want to go see it? I mean, go, man, you go ahead.
Go, bro.
I'm good. I mean,
see, it's like that film is filled with dialogue like that. Like, it gives this aura of menace, this dark part of the story. You know, like the scene where they're talking, Jamie's favorite scene, he always imitates a guy. He's like, come, look, sit down. Come, sit down. Like, even when that dude tells him and the wind starts blowing. And it's like, you know, it says here, like, when he tells him, okay, so 4 inches. And he's like, wait. And he flips the talisman over and he's like, but take back one kadam to honor the Hebrew God whose ark this is. And then the wind starts blowing. And even that whole scene when they're uncovering the well of the soul and that storm comes up, it's like, that's, you know, that's God telling them, you guys, you know, hey, I left that there for a reason. Don't disturb it. But Indiana Jones's intention is to get it away from evil. Like, he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to save the world because if the Nazis get it. But then we saw when they got it, they paid the price. But even like dialogue written a certain way, like not, you know, to focus on these movies, like the Conjuring movies. You know, like one of the most powerful lines in The Conjuring is when that guy asks Ed Warren, why don't you just burn this stuff? And he goes, well, sometimes you find it better to keep the genie in the bottle. That line. And then this third one was when he says that, and it's in the trailer, is when he says that, you know, the church recognizes that, you know, that anytime somebody takes the oath, they swear on the Bible, it's about time they start to believe in the existence of the devil. And it's like, did you watch that yet?
Yeah, I liked it.
One of my favorite lines is, why don't you come over for dinner? Yeah, we'll introduce you to Annabelle.
I said, nope, I would not go near that house. Because we were watching, I know we're supposed to talk about this movie, but Eric was we were watching the first one. He was like, is that stuff really there? And I'm like, yep. And I said, I would never go in there. I would not touch it. I mean, same thing like with the Amityville Horror House. I would like to see it, but would I go in it? Hell no.
I ain't going.
Hell no.
I'm good.
I mean, another thing that always spooked me out in this movie was in the beginning when Indy and Marcus are talking, when he tells them, he goes, well, I mean, this is what Brody says, all right, Marcus. He goes, well, I mean, for nearly 3,000 years, the man has been searching for the lost ark. It's something.
It's to, not something to be taken lightly.
Yeah. And I mean, no one knows its secrets. It's like nothing you've ever gone after before. I mean, even Marcus was like, I don't know, man. He goes, I don't know much, but I know not to go looking and touching, looking for this thing. But I think Indy was just so like, what are you trying to scare me? He wasn't tripping. He had that attitude, but he did have that belief of, all right, I know what this is and I know what it does. So he has the belief of I need to get it and to get it away from evil and get it to somewhere else. Do you watch Big Bang Theory?
No.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is like all the guys' favorite movie or one of their favorite movies. But Amy Fairfowler, Mayim Bialik, Blossom, Sheldon's girlfriend, she watches it for the first time and she tells him, he's like, do you love it? It's like, she's like, yeah, it was good. And she goes, but there is a flaw. And Sheldon's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, Indiana Jones plays no role in the outcome of the movie. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, even if Indiana Jones wasn't in the movie, the Nazis would have found the Ark and they would have opened it and all died. Even if he wasn't involved in it. And they tried to go, well, they wouldn't have found the Well of the Souls because Indy had the medallion, but then they're like, well, not really, because Tote or whatever the hell his name would have showed up, got the medallion from Marion, and they would have found the Well of the Souls, got the Ark, took it to that island, opened it up, and all died. I mean, so I was sitting there thinking about that, like, that's true.
If you really think about it, the best part would have let the Nazis have it because they would have opened it probably in front of Hitler, in front of all the Nazis, and that shit would have just, like, what happened to them on that island would have happened to all of Berlin.
But I mean, Belloc wanted to open it before.
Yeah, he was just so, like, giving a test run.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? He goes, let's just open it to see if it's there. Before we show it to him. And then again, they all would have died. But I mean, because what Indy was supposed to do, he was supposed to go find me. The museum, they wanted him to go get it, bring it back so they can study it. Yes, he went in there. He got it away from evil, brought it back to America. But then the government took over. And they just put it in a crate and it's in the warehouse in Area 51. I assume that's where it was in Crystal Skull, because they do show it when they're in there fighting. Oh, that movie was so goofy. What was killing me about that one was all the CGI.
Yeah, it's I couldn't get past Shia LaBeouf.
Mutt.
Mutt. Okay.
That was his love child.
I don't know what it was. It was just his vain attempt to get back into acting. But I don't know, man.
If he's in the next one, I'm not mad. I won't be mad at it. I mean, I'll still watch it. I liked his character. I mean, he did few good movies.
Indy wakes up. It's like, oh, okay. I had this dream. I was looking for the skull and I had a kid.
And aliens showed up.
Aliens showed. I don't know. I don't know. But Raiders of the Lost Ark, man. You can't. You can't fade it.
The little idol. I mean, this universe, this Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones universe is in the Star Wars universe, because in Solo, I can't remember his name, Vision. he's only Vision to me.
Paul Bettany.
Yeah, in his little room on his ship, he had the idol sitting there and all his little things he found. I saw that clearly. So this is in the Star Wars universe. Yeah,
he didn't have the ashtray from Creepshow though. Or a Wen Boys menu.
But I mean, this movie, I mean, we could go all night about it. Just how amazing it is. Again, I always go to the special effects and the practical effects. I mean, the stuff at the end, like I said, this could have been PG-13 or maybe even R for faces melting and just and blood pouring out of their faces and then Belloc's head blowing up. I mean, when you think a head's blowing up, everyone goes to Scanners, which is an awesome movie. During that when that guy blows his head gets blown up. But I mean, this had it all, man. This had action. This had adventure. It had love. It had elements of horror and suspense and thriller. This movie had everything in it. And it was all wrapped up in, I don't even think this movie was 2 hours, if that. Well, almost 2 hours, hour and 55 minutes, but that's with credits. This movie, the budget was $20 million and it made box office $389.9 million. I mean, I don't know if this was all just the first initial run, or did they count the hey, we're bringing it back to the theater and getting more money. And I'm sure it made just gajillion more money for them. Not here in the United States, but I'm sure once it went around the world, I mean, everybody and their mother went and seen this. But I mean, this movie is amazing. This is an iconic character, and George Lucas was one of the creators of it, and still Steven Spielberg directed it. I mean, we got to throw in Frank Marshall. He's one of the great producers, but everybody in this was awesome. I mean, again, you look at Harrison Ford, you see Indiana Jones, you see Han Solo, you see Decker, you see Dr. Kimball from The Fugitive, and every other thing, even regarding Henry and everything he's in it. Not so much like Working Girl or whatever the hell that movie was. I think he was in that, but he's got so many roles that you think, when I see him, I'm just because I love Star Wars, I see Han Solo. That's who all I see. But then again, you can't leave Indiana Jones out of this. And it's amazing. I mean, Temple of Doom was awesome. To me, I thought they went more comedy and not really CGI, but there was a lot of visual effects in that. I think they went back to practical in Last Crusade. I didn't really care for that one all that much, but then after watching it over and over, I do enjoy it. I mean, that was another adventure in bringing in the Nazis and everything. Even Hitler made an appearance in that one. But then Crystal Skull was just a big CGI mess. But I can take it for what it is. I mean, I can enjoy it. I can enjoy it. Bring back Marion. I did like how they gave a shout out to Marcus in that, because the actor that had passed away. So it was good that they threw him in. Oh, Sala came back in Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
But I mean, this movie is amazing. Again, like I said, we could be here all night talking about it. But this was just one of those movies that it's a timeless classic. Here, let me just read this quick synopsis on IMDb. In 1936, archaeologist and adventurer Indiana Jones is hired by the U.S. government to find the Ark of the Covenant before Adolf Hitler's Nazis can obtain its awesome powers. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. Oh my God, this movie is awesome. Could you rock a fedora?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. And you know what? I would rock a man purse too. Indiana Jones had one.
It's not a man purse. It's a satchel.
Indiana
Jones had one. Yeah. Oh man. If you, Disneyland, the Indiana Jones ride. Oh man. You got to be prepared for that. The way it throws you all over the place. It's an awesome ride. I love it. But it's just the way that Jeep is moving. Oh man, I thought I was gonna throw my back out that last time we rode it.
Where's it at?
It's at Disneyland. It's cool. It's like what's amazing about it, dude, is you're going like through the jungle as you're going in line, and then you go into this temple and you see the little diamond things on the floor where it says watch your step, because you don't want it's got the little holes in the wall where the darts come out. If you step on it, I think in the beginning the air blew out of it, but I don't remember. You get in this Jeep and you're in this big temple type of thing. It's kind of like a Temple of Doom type of thing. There's a big giant snake, animatronic. Indiana Jones is running around there. He's swinging from the ceiling. The big boulder comes. There's a scene where you're going down this hall and there's bugs crawling around and you hear the darts coming out of the wall. Dude, it's fucking crazy. All within like 2 or 3 minutes, however long this ride is. But if you got a bad back, don't get on it. Because I remember that last time I was like, oh, man, I had to stretch when I got off that ride. But, I mean, it's a cool ride. And I love the little store that's right there, right? When you come out of the exit, they sell the hats and the leather jackets. Not the whips or anything, but I don't know if they have new Indiana Jones figures there, because I got you one, didn't I?
Yeah. It's at mom and dad's house.
That was the last one that I had got there. And I don't even know if they sell those anymore, unless they got something new. But it's a cool ride, man. I mean, I really enjoy it, but I don't think I would ride it again. I'd probably throw my back out.
They need to, man, these action figure companies need to quit bullshitting and start making that figure.
Which one?
You know, like if NECA can get the rights to make an Indiana Jones figure, because they killed it with the Thing figure.
I don't see why not, but Disney.
Disney, if they did it, they should make a Diamond Select one.
Yeah, I mean, Disney owns all that. This is a Paramount. Well, it's a Lucas thing, and they own. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's under Lucasfilm also. So, NECA got the rights to do E.T. And then they're doing, from what I know, next year sometime NECA is doing Bruce the Shark. They're doing a Jaws, because they're doing the American Werewolf in London, the Kessler Wolf.
I got my Bruce right here next to me. That one when we were kids.
Oh, that one with the. Oh my God, that thing's worth bank now.
I still got it right here. It's right here. Yeah, my desk. Lucky. Dude, you had one too. I think I got mine from Alameda County Fair.
I got mine at Lucky's down the street from the house.
I remember it was on a stick, like the rubber band on a stick. And I remember on the top of his back, it had a sticker. I wish that was still on there. It said Jaws.
It said Jaws. And I remember I got one and a stupid dog chewed off the tail.
Yeah, I remember that. I can picture that.
Chewed off the tail and chewed off the dorsal fin. But, oh, my God, dude. So real quick, man, let's talk action figures. So, I don't know if I've been sending you all my MacReady shots for my figure photography, and I just went crazy shooting that figure. And it's probably one of the best figures that NEC has come out with in a long time.
I don't even know the last thing I bought. Oh, last thing I bought was Sergeant D. That's a NECA.
SOD one?
Yeah.
Damn, I couldn't find one of those.
I found one at that Days of the Dead con in Vegas. I wanted that the most, but I said, let me go in here and look around. And if it's still here when we leave, I'll get it. And it was still there, so I got it. So I'm glad I had that because they don't sell those anymore on the website. I'm just waiting for the new blood, Jason. I know that's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. The next, NECA.
They pushed it. It was supposed to be June. It was supposed to be this month, and they keep pushing it back. And then I find out that Walmart has the NECA Frankenstein, the 1931 Frankenstein figure.
I saw that.
NECA's doing the you seen it there?
I saw it at Target.
Oh, okay. If you see another one, grab it for me. I can't find them out here for nothing. If you see one of those, grab it for me. Let's see what else was supposed to come out. That New Blood, the Nazi monsters from American Werewolf in London, but that one's only gonna be one body and four heads. I'm getting, you know, they come out with these different Predator figures too, but it's always the same body, you know, just like these last three Predator figures they released from the Lost Tribe. They're all the Predator 2 body, but different heads and helmets. So it's like the last original one they came out with was that Alpha Predator that was like a caveman Predator. That one was badass.
Are you a sideshow?
But yeah. Oh, man, look. I'll tell you what. When I get my first Oscar off a film that made me millions of dollars as an actor or a director, then I'll start. But I can't even look at Sideshow. I just hate on it because it's so beautiful.
This is Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom one. $29.99. It looks amazing. He's even got the little the rocks.
Dude, man, I'm telling you, my first one I'm gonna get when I get that money in the bank, the first one I'm gonna get is that Skeletor. There's a Skeletor one that has his little staff actually has a crystal ball on it. There's so many to get, dude. There are so many that are just Jesse's things. I thought they were bigger.
No, they're not very big.
Yeah, they're little and they're hella expensive.
I got the Boba Fett. I pre-ordered mine.
Yeah, I want to get that. I wanted to put payments on it, but they wouldn't allow me to. It said I had to pay for the whole thing.
Oh, they let me do the payment things. I want one of these idols. The fertility idol from Raiders. I want that Sideshow one. I don't know if they make it anymore. I think I just gotta buy it from someone on eBay. But
there's three things I really want. GameStop has two of them. They have the Snake Eyes helmet, and they have the Cobra Commander one. But I also want to get a Darth Vader helmet, not the little costume shop one. I want one of the Black Series ones, like that Stormtrooper helmet I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want a Darth Vader one. And a Boba Fett one.
Well, save your money. I'm running out of room in here. In this, I just got to organize everything. I just got everything just on the shelf. But All right, everyone. That's going to be it. 40 years of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Not Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Get that shit out of here. But, we didn't run through the whole thing like we usually do, but I mean, you guys should have seen this, but this is definitely a timeless classic. And if you have Paramount Plus, it's on there, or you're going to go out and buy the $100 Steelbook collection. Looking at it, do I need it? No, but I want it. So, oh man, I'm running way out of room for my movies, but, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Mike and I will be back with more. We got a few more. We got a few rewind ESP rewinds we want to do. But we're just talking about a movie we love, the 40th anniversary. And yeah, that's it. But you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Just some quick news for those of you that are fans of The Smudging. That film just made history by becoming, how do I word this right? It's going to be included in the Indigenous Studies curriculum at the University of British Columbia in a textbook with a chapter about Indigenous horror in film. And one of the focuses, a big chunk of the chapter, is about The Smudging and about the symbolism behind the story. So when I was told that that was being considered, I mean, honestly, it's like, I just wanted to make a scary movie, a fun, scary movie. And for it to be now part of, you know, UCB's or UBC's curriculum, that's huge. I mean, my film is going to be talked about and hopefully written about and referenced, and it's, you know, just for it to become that, to me, is huge. So thank you very much to everybody that supported it, that still watches it, that you know, even the haters, it's, at least you watched it. But yeah, man, that's all of this big news. And I got, oh my God, I got so much things coming up. I have this, I'm on this panel at the Indigenous Film Summit, which is June 23rd. I'll send you the details so you can announce it. But even that, I mean, to be asked to talk at this thing, it's in front of, you know, across the world where it's broadcast, is going to be pretty dope.
Oh, but it's an online thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, that's, and I'm still working on, the documentary about, action figure photography and depression. Now that I'm all moved, that we moved, got a bigger crib now, live a couple blocks from, the Nakatomi Tower here in Los Angeles. It's pretty crazy to go outside and see it right down the street.
So is this LA now, or, cause I know it was Culver City or whatever.
Where you live? Yeah. It's in the LA area. It's divided up into sections. So we live in West LA now.
Okay.
Yeah. Culver City was, Culver City Palms. That's over there by, Sony Studios and all that. Now we stay up here in West LA, which is close to Century City. A few blocks up, dude, you can walk around where they shot, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's my favorite one. I mean,
yeah,
we're gonna come back at some point and do that movie. Everybody, I love that movie.
Yeah, that's where they shot it. It's up at the mall, the Westfield Mall up the street, before it was like a big mall. That's where they shot it. And then I live, like I said, a couple blocks from Nakatomi Tower.
Is that still a Fox building?
Yeah, yeah. They don't let you take pictures in front of it either. Like, security guard will come out and tell you to get lost.
Not if you're standing on the sidewalk.
Yeah. But let's see what else has been going on. So working, that's what I was getting to. So now I have my own space here. Have a studio, so I got to get that set up. I'm getting a new computer because my other one got full. And then I got to start finishing these films. Cinema Red, Full Native Horror. Got to finish that one. I got to finish the one that, what was it? First Voice. Really want to get started on that one again. Cause I think that film's going to be badass when it's done. And that's about it, man. I was going to tell you, dude, like when you come down here, we could totally shoot a short horror film in this building. There's nobody out. And the whole neighborhood I live in is just empty. Like it, as soon as 10 o'clock rolls around, there's nobody out. So
how far is Hollywood from there?
It's just probably maybe about 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles. Cause we just take Santa Monica. We could take Santa Monica up to Sunset. Just take Sunset all the way over.
Cause I want to go to that Funko Hollywood. I want to go in there.
Dude, when you come here, we got to go to, got to take you to Burbank.
Yep.
To shout out to Blast from the Past, Burbank on Magnolia. And then I haven't been there yet, but out towards City of Industry, there's a place called Frankensons, which is like a Costco-sized building full of just toy vendors, collectors, collectible stuff. It's just full of it. It's like the collectible section of cons, you know, when they have their own, you know, the go buy stuff. It's like that, but it's just full. That's all it's full of.
Well, we'll definitely go down there. Hopefully sometime next month, figure out a time when to come down there. Cause going to Texas pretty soon. Hopefully go to Houston, to the Houston Horror Film Festival or whatever it is. Clint Howard's going to be there. I want him to sign my Evil Speak Blu-ray. So,
Clint Howard.
It's the main reason I'm going there. I mean, I'm one of Clint Howard's disciples. So I got to meet him. This is probably my only chance. So I'm going to be there. But all right, everyone. That's going to be it. We got a new episode of East Society coming really soon. Hopefully get to that this weekend. More stuff on Anchor. Tons of ideas. Just got to sit down and do it. Check out Brian and I's latest episode of THR Presents Stream Fiends, where we cover the 2009 Street Dreams, and then go back and listen to The Last Action Returns when we talk about Beverly Hills Cop 2. Beverly Hills Cop 3 is coming, and I think the next Stream Fiends is 1990s Kid and Play classic House Party. So more and more and more shows all over the place, either everything here on the Skater Nest Podcast Network or everything East Society on the Anchor Network, and then shoot on over to Horror Returns and listen to everything that's on there. So, but as far as that, all you guys, thank you for listening. And all you new listeners, welcome. You're going to hear Mike and I ton more times. So just get ready for all of that. And just be safe out there. It's still a crazy world. We all got to live together. Let's just be safe and just... People think it's over. It's not. It's still going wild out there. So just be careful. So hopefully cons are going again. Hopefully see you guys at one of them. So until next time, again, everyone, please be safe and party on.